over the next 8 times together, here's what we're going to see in the throne room. Today, we're going to meet Jesus. We're going to see Jesus high and lifted up. When we meet the next time, we're going to talk about a door. And we saw in our little preview, he said that there was a door open in heaven. And we're going to talk about there's literally a door in that throne room that is opened up. And we'll talk about what that door means. We're going to look at the throne of God. There is a throne of God. It says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. What's he doing there? What's God doing on that throne all day? We're going to talk about that throne. We're going to talk about what that throne looks like. We'll go a little deeper into that. We're going to talk about the presence of God. What does it mean? How many of you have walked in here and you've just said, I just sense the presence of God? We have people walk in here all the time thinking they're walking into the post office and they literally go, what is that? I promise you, it's the presence of God. We're going to talk about in the throne room, there is a presence of God that is thick and it's real, and you know that you're in that atmospheric presence of God, and we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about worship. What in the world are those cherubim doing all day? Holy, holy, holy. What is that worship all about? Is that going to be boring? What is worship all about? And we'll talk about what that worship is in the throne room. All of these things are biblical in the Bible, in Revelation, in other scriptures. These are all in the throne room. So girlfriend, if you know Jesus, you will be in this throne room. And I want you to have a preview of what you're going to see. These are coming attractions. I don't want you to walk in here and go, I had no idea what this room looked like. I want you to go into that room anticipating you know what that room looks like. And all of this is laid out very clearly in the Bible. It talks about the prayers of the saints. Do you know that every prayer you have ever prayed is stored up in heaven? And it talks about that they are in these bowls of heaven. And they literally, every prayer of every saint that's ever been prayed is in the throne room. And we're going to talk about those prayers. How many of you have thought God didn't hear your prayer, care about your prayer, know about your prayer? Oh, he stores your prayers up, girlfriend. He knows about your prayers. And then we're going to talk about grace and mercy. He says to come boldly with confidence before the throne of God with grace and mercy. Do you know when you get into that room, there is only grace and there is only mercy. That's the only thing you will find in the throne room. No condemnation, no ridicule, no judgment, no pain, no sorrow, no sickness. There is that. We'll talk about that. And then we'll end with rewards and crowns. And this one will be maybe a difficult one. The Bible is very clear to lay out 7 crowns that we will be given, and who will be given what crown for what. And there will be rewards given in heaven. So we're going to talk about that over the next 8 weeks. And I really believe I want to try to articulate it in such a way through coaching and through story and through example that it makes sense. But it's a heavy topic, but it's meant to be understood. Listen, it's called the revelation for a reason. He wants to reveal something to you. He is not concealing, he is revealing. This is not meant for you to not understand. It's meant for you to have eyes to see and to start seeing things with his eyes, not your eyes. So I want you to begin to see what this throne room looks like. So let's jump into scripture right now. I want to start by beginning to tell you how all this happened. About 2 years ago, many of you have journeyed with me. You know, about a year or so ago, I had a hip replacement. And I was in my prayer room. I have a war room at home, a prayer room. I got a big prayer rock. I spend time over my prayer rock. And I was literally in that room, and I was begging God to speak to me. I was listening to Carrie Job's song, and it's a song that says, speak to me, I'm listening. Speak to me, I'm listening. If you don't know that song, download it, Carrie Job. Speak to me, I'm listening. Speak to me. And I'd get in that room, and I would get in, I would just literally get over that my little prayer rock there, and I would pray, and I would just say, speak to me, I'm listening. Speak to me, I'm listening. Speak. And what I wanted to know was, God, what do you want me to do? I didn't want a hip replacement. I wanted a miracle. And I was mad at God for not healing my hip. Anybody ever been like that? And I was pressing and I was saying, God, you're healing people of cancer. You're healing people of sickness and disease. Why don't you heal my hip? Why don't you heal me? I'm in pain and it hurts. And I would just, literally, I would lament and pray and pray and pray. And I just kept, speak to me and I'd wait. Speak to me, I'd wait. Speak to me, I'd wait. I'd get nothing. I'd come back the next day, speak to me. I mean, I did this for a month every day before God, he knows. I'd get in there and I'd just cry, speak to me, speak to me. Have the surgery, don't have the surgery. And there was a part of me that didn't want to have the surgery because I wanted a miracle. But just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And have you ever been there where you're just wrestling with God? You're wrestling with God for an answer. And I literally was in that room and I just felt him begin to say, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. And those are promptings. Nobody's going to tell me to read the Word of God but God. Let me just tell you, some messages only come from God. Don't be double dumb. Like some of you go, was that of God? Well, what do you think? If it's according to his word, in his word, of scripture, most probably it's from God. And he said, read the Word of God. And I began perusing through the Word of God. And I got to the book of the Revelation. And I began to read through Revelation. Now see, he will direct our paths. He ain't no fool. He's trying to get me there. How stupid, it just hit me. Speak to me, I'm listening, and I didn't open the Bible. You know, he might be saying, girlfriend, there's correlation between me speaking with you and the Bible. That literally just hit me. Okay. God's going, she gets it. Okay. So I'm like going through my Bible, and I go to Revelation 1. Now, let me explain a little bit before we get to this. God is in the throne room. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God. He is God on his throne. He sent Jesus to earth. Holy Spirit indwells us. In Genesis 1, and some of these scriptures are in your notes, so I'm not going to go over all of them, but get your pen. Genesis 1:26, in heaven, he says, let us make man in our image. Now, we have this picture that God is our image instead of we are his image. So we see Jesus in bodily form. What I'm going to show you tonight in the book of the Revelation, he doesn't look like you, girlfriend. God is God. He is spirit and he is truth. So in the throne room is God, and he says, let us make man in our image. He makes us. We mess up. It's called Eden, which is our women's conference in February. You don't want to miss, because I'm going to talk to you about that. All right, so here we are. And so we mess up, and look what the next scripture, look what happens in Philippians 2. Jesus, being in the very form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. Jesus didn't hold on to his divinity in heaven and go, they screwed up, it's their fault. He didn't grasp and say, I won't let go. He let go. It says, look what it says. This is so good. There's so much. I got to go really quick. He says, look what he says. Being with God, something made of grass, but made himself of nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He was made in human likeness. What I want you to understand when you see Jesus, because we get these images of what Jesus looks like, and we see him like he was here on earth. And I'm going to try to help erase some of that. So we get this image of Jesus like in a physical body sitting on a throne. But remember, that's not how he started. He didn't start in a physical body. He took on humanity. He took on humanity. He came to earth. He died, just like this verse says. He came, and then he went back to the throne room. He said to the disciples after he was resurrected, so here's how we see Jesus. You're going to bear with me, but we're going. We see Jesus either in a manger or on a cross or resurrected for those 40 days that he walked among the apostles, right? So in your mind, when you think of Jesus, don't most of you imagine him in a body? That's how you see Jesus, because he took on humanity for us. But who was Jesus in the throne room before he took on humanity? He didn't have a body in heaven. He wasn't running around in a body in heaven. He took on humanity for us. I want to get this image out of you so you begin to see who Jesus truly is. So when you see him on the throne, you will know who you're looking at when you get there. Not that there's going to be a doubt. All right, so do you have with me here? Now, so here he was. He comes to earth. The disciples are going, Jesus, don't leave us. And here's what he says. I must go away, but I will send the comforter. It's actually my grandchildren's fault. They stayed with us last week. And the little guy had a cold. All right, so I caught it. All right, now this is so good. I'm so sorry to be distracted with this cough, but the enemy's not going to stop me because I'm on a roll tonight, all right? So Jesus says, I must go away, but I will send the Comforter, and he will be with you, and he will be in you. That's the third part of the Trinity coming from the throne room. Now, does that make sense to you? So we have this Godhead in heaven in the throne room. All three parts have done their part, created us, sustained us, redeemed us, healed us, fills us. That's the Godhead on the throne in the throne room. I want you to go with me in your notes. Now, there are a lot of scriptures, so I want you to look at the one I'm giving you right now in Revelation 1, verses 1 through 3. I want you to understand, now, a lot of these verses I'm going to give you over the next 8 weeks, a lot of them are in Revelation, but a lot of them will be throughout the Bible. For instance, when I talk about the throne room, I'm going to show you all kinds of passages of people who had revelations of Jesus on the throne. Isaiah and Michael and Ezekiel all saw Jesus on the throne, the same image. So the Bible is very consistent. It's the same thing, same people live in different times seeing the same thing. So they're having glimpses of what this throne room really looks like, and we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But in Revelation 1:3, let me read this to you. the revelation from Jesus Christ. So this revelation, stay with me. Oh, you're going to get your head around this. This revelation comes from Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives a revelation, which God gave him to show his servants. Who are the servants? This would be us. This is all shown so we can see it. This is not meant for one person, and this is meant for you not to see it. This was a revelation to show the servants that we would see what's getting ready to happen, what must soon take place. Listen, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. This is so good. This revelation came to the Apostle John. This revelation came to the Apostle John. Now, how many of us remember the disciples? And then we remember there's three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And they were the three closest to Jesus. They were always with Jesus. Jesus was showing him things that the other ones didn't see because the other ones didn't want to see it or they weren't ready to see it. And let me ask you right now in the house, you aren't all Peter, James, and Johns. But there is a group in here that's a Peter, James, and John. And you are pressing in and you want more. They were the three that Jesus took to the Mount of Transfiguration. They are the three that saw heaven open up and they saw Jesus on his throne. These three saw it, the Bible tells us. So these three were always there. Let me tell you what, you are as close to him as you want to be. I am hot and heavy on his tail. I mean, I am literally prayer walking and believing God and reading. I want more and I ask for more and I will stay there and I will seek and I will ask, Lord, speak to me. And it will only happen if you are a Peter, James, or John that press in and you want it and you want it, you want it. But listen, there was only one that was really dear to him, and that was John. Because John was the only one that was at the cross of Calvary. John was the only one at the cross when Jesus looked at him and he said, John, behold thy mother. John, take care of my mother. John was, remember Peter, he fled. He even denied Jesus. And James, who know here, the Bible doesn't even say where he was. So now out of the 12, there's only one that's pressing in. There's only one that's pressing in. John refused to doubt. He refused to leave, and he stood by. Matter of fact, the rest of his life, he was persecuted for the cause of Christ. Now, this is the one that he gives the book of the Revelation to. And this means a lot to me because God says, Tammy, you can see as much of me as you want, but you got to be with me. You got to press in. You got to walk with me. You got to ask questions. You can't deny me. And the interesting thing that legend tells us, and history, not legend, history tells us that they did everything they could to kill John. John could not be killed. They boiled him in oil. He was tortured. He was ridiculed. And then finally, he was exiled to an isle of Patmos, outside the Greek Isle, and he was executed there, exiled there to die, to starve to death, all by himself. So he's 90 years old when this angel comes and gives him this revelation that he writes down and gives us the book of Revelation. Now, my question to you is, are you ready to see him that much? Are you ready to see Jesus? When you begin to read what he saw and begin to see what he saw, I think, God, I want to be like that. I want to see, and every time I'm on my prayer walk, I'm like, Jesus, I want to see you like that. Jesus, I want to see you like that. And I'm always pressing into that. So he goes on, that's who this was given to, was that John. And he says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart. Did you hear me? If you hear it and you take to heart, every woman in this room, listen to me, if you hear it and you take it to heart, if you hear it and you take it to heart, that means you do something with it. Don't let this word fall on deaf ears. Please, please, please don't let it fall on deaf ears. It will change your life. Everything in this world will come against you. The lies of the enemy will come against you. Only those who push through and persevere and say, the enemy will not get me, I will persevere, I will be that one. It's up to every one of you to be able to do that. But you have to hear and you have to persevere. I can only encourage you and challenge you, but I cannot do it for you. And he goes on and he says, blessed is one who reads the prophecy, and blessed to those who hear and take heart in what is written, because the time is near. Now let's get to where we really want to go. Revelation 1, 12 through 16. And here he is. This is John. And he says, and I turned around. Now he is having a supernatural experience with God. And I know it's real. I have had supernatural experiences with God, not as much as I want. I am in a physical body, subject to a physical world with a physical mind. And it's not until I literally break out of that. And let me tell you how I do it. It takes praise. I'll sit in a room and I'll praise and I'll worship and I read the Word of God and I put what I know in my mind and then I begin to ask Holy Spirit to show me things I can't see with my physical eyes. God, show me things. Move in my spirit, man, because we know we're body, soul, and spirit. We would all agree with that, right? And if you feed the flesh will be strong. If you feed the spirit will be strong. But it takes time, and it takes discipline, and it takes discernment, and it takes desire. The same thing we tell all of our children all of the time. Things don't happen overnight. My little grandson's back tonight. They're going to Disneyland tomorrow. Apparently, they call that the Disney flu. Do you know that's what the school calls that? That's like when the kids take off school for Disney. So my daughter-in-law says, Mom, we're coming up. The kids have the Disney flu. So they're going to Disneyland tomorrow. And the little guys came up. And so they're there and they're having to practice their multiplication tables. How are they going to learn multiplication? Over and over and over and over. Don't think that you're going to grasp this tonight. Some of you will walk out with your notes and go, wow, that was really interesting. And some of you will press in. And you'll push through, and you'll read the scriptures, and you'll cross-reference, and you'll Google things, and you'll listen to sermons, and you'll go, I want more of that. I want to see Jesus like that. And that's what some of you will do from here tonight. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned around, I saw seven golden lampstands, which is interesting. That's a picture of a menorah. And the book of Revelation, the lampstand is always the church. So these are seven churches he's getting ready to talk to. He says, I turned around and I saw this lampstand. Now, he's getting ready to speak to him in typology. And he's getting ready to show him things in visions. And he's getting ready to say, this isn't normal. This isn't what you're used to seeing here on earth. Okay, so let's go on. And he says to him, speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like the Son of Man. Now listen, like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. And the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a blazing fire, and his feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. And that day that I was saying, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me, I'm reading this. Now listen to me, everything in me, I saw Jesus.